Wake up! It's the Sleep Unplugged Podcast, episode 94, Grounding and Sleep. I felt the earth beneath my feet. Welcome everyone to the Sleep Unplugged Podcast. My name is Chris Winter. I'm a neurologist and sleep specialist and your host for what should be a really interesting episode of the podcast and a little bit of a departure from some of the topics we've done recently. So I'm excited that you're here to talk about it. We get topics for our shows from all over the place. We're always interested in what you want to learn about as it relates to sleep. So if you'd like to communicate with the show, please contact me through my Twitter account or Instagram. They're both Dr. Chris Winter. We have a YouTube page where we put the videos of all of our content. We have TikTok, Blue Sky, Threads, not quite as active on those platforms, but you can certainly reach out through any of those social media programs and let us know what you think about the podcast, ideas, feedback, experiences you've had related to one topic or the other. So by the time you listen to this podcast, I think we're going to be at about 150,000 downloads, which is remarkable. I want to appreciate every one of you for the support. Appreciate every one of you and thank every one of you for the support of the podcast. We couldn't be doing what we do without you. You all make it really fun and feel like a family. And on that note, I'm going to highlight a comment from one of our listeners, Melanie, who wrote, "Hey, Dr. Winter, I'm listening to the Sleep Solution audiobook and it had such a profound impact on me that I ordered the physical book when I hit the chapter about sleep stages so I could quickly reference for the future and to express my support for your content. Being sleep month, I've been thinking about a post to share my narcolepsy and sleep story on social media." And she goes on to ask me some questions about that and is excited to share her own journey about sleep. And I appreciate you reaching out, Melanie. We're glad you're finding good sources of information and want to pay it forward and be a resource for somebody else out there who has gone through dealing with a chronic sleep disorder like narcolepsy, understanding it more, finding resources for help. We're happy to be a small part of the solution. And I think, I can't be sure without speaking directly to Melanie, but I think when somebody says, "I ordered the physical book," it's code for, "I got tired of listening to you talk on the audiobook," because I do narrate the audiobook of The Sleep Solution. So I do have two books, The Sleep Solution and The Rested Child. Both are available where books are sold. So really quickly, before we get into the episode, the title of the podcast, "I Felt the Earth Beneath My Feet," is from a lyric from the Keane song, "Somewhere Only We Know," which was off of their debut album, Hopes and Fears. It was released in May of 2004. I'm a huge Saturday Night Live fan and have been since I was very young. I remember watching particular episodes of Saturday Night Live growing up, and every now and then there would be a musical guest on the show that I had not heard of. I grew up in, you know, Southwest Virginia and Salem, and, you know, didn't have access to progressive radio when I was, you know, younger. So a lot of times you get exposed to the more cutting edge avant-garde artists via their musical appearance on Saturday Night Live. So shortly after this album came out, Keane was on Saturday Night Live and they played the song "Somewhere Only We Know" and "Everyone's Changing." And, you know, I can think about Keane, World Party. They did "Ship of Fools" and "Way Down Now." And I'd never heard World Party before. Discovered Haim, I believe, through Saturday. So every now and then there's just this artist that you're like, "Oh my gosh, both those songs are great. Let's do it." Greta Van Fleet, I think for a lot of people, their Saturday Night Live appearance was a memorable one and sort of introduced them to that group. So they released Hopes and Fears in May of 2004, and it immediately topped UK charts. It's been certified 9 times platinum. So in 2005, when they were on Saturday Night Live, they also won the Brit Award for Best Album, and they topped the charts again, which was awesome. And so Keane is Tom Chaplin, who's their lead singer. And I remember being really struck by him on Saturday Night Live, because if you listen to music, you generate this image of who's singing in your head. And I remember his image being like, he's like this childlike face on this adult body. He was such a cool looking guy. I just thought he was awesome. It was really fun to watch him perform. And so Tom Chaplin and Tim Rice Oxley were buddies when they were really little, and they formed this band as they got older. Tim Rice Oxley is their keyboard player. And that was the other thing that struck me about the Saturday Night Live performance, was because it was a drummer, a keyboard player, and a singer. That was it, which was kind of interesting to see that trio of instruments being played. Tim Rice Oxley was actually invited to be a part of Coldplay, but he kind of saw the writing on the wall in terms of the formation of Keane. Wasn't really sure about Chris Martin being a piano player and him being a kid. So he decided to say no to Coldplay and form Keane. And really cool little note, the title or the name of the band Keane comes from the name of a woman named Cherry Keane, who, when Tom Chaplin was growing up, I think his family was having a lot of hard times and struggles. And this woman, they was a friend of the family, died of cancer and left them a lot of money that really helped them make ends meet. And so the name of the group was originally Cherry Keane, and then they eventually shortened it to Keane. So anyway, a lot of fun. And we'll put Somewhere Only We Know on the Spotify Sleep Unplugged playlist. You can find that if you listen to Spotify. Just type in Sleep Unplugged Playlist Volume 2, and all the songs that we reference on the show will be there. And we might have to put Bed Shaped. That was the other song from that album that I always liked. And so Bed Shaped, I think, is sleep related enough that it belongs probably on the playlist. So let's talk about grounding. Why are we here? So every year, if you listen to the podcast, you know, around spring, I go out and work with a bunch of Major League Baseball teams. And it's always interesting to talk to these young players about their sleep and, you know, what they're learning, what they're hearing, what they're doing for their sleep. And while I've heard it before from them, this year in particular, there seemed to be a lot of people saying, hey, what do you think about grounding or earthing? Or grounding mats. I sleep on a grounding mat and I really like it. Or I sleep on this thing that I plug into the wall and it's been really helpful to me. And some of the players that I talked to were really pretty passionate about it. Like, hey, I got this thing and I see a big difference in terms of my sleep. And then they, you know, were kind of asking me about the theories about this. And I had to admit, look, I know about grounding and I know what that means electrically. I'm fairly handy around the house and like to do that kind of stuff. And, but I don't know how it relates to sleep. So let's do a deep dive into the research if it exists, and we'll talk about it and see what happens. So I was actually talking to a Red Sox staff member too. And he was like, yeah, I don't use any kind of grounding technology, but I spend a lot of time walking around outdoors barefoot. And I think it's the best thing in the world. It really makes me feel great. So grounding, let's talk about what we're talking about grounding. So if you have ever wired a ceiling fan or some sort of electrical appliance, or you've plugged in a three-pronged device into an outlet, that bottom prong, that little circular prong, is the ground. Or when you're wiring the ceiling fan, there's a black and white, and then there's the green wire or the bare copper wire, which is the ground. And so what's happening is when we create or we power a device, we're creating a circuit. So let's think about the simplest circuit we can think about. It's a battery. And there's a wire taped to the positive end and a wire taped to the negative end. And those two wires wrap around and are, you know, touching the two, you know, parts of the light bulb, and the light bulb comes on. So you're creating a current circuit. And when that circuit is closed, the light lights up. When we break the circuit or we open up the circuit with like a switch, we create a, you know, we stop the light because now we've interrupted that cycle of current, and now there is no light. So when you're looking at things that are grounded, why are we doing that? Well, we're doing it to essentially protect ourselves from getting a 120 volt shock. And so by law, at least in the United States, I don't know what internationally how things work. And please, disclaimer, I really like to say things that are truthful on this show. I'm not an electrical engineer. Yes, I can wire a ceiling fan and do simple electric wiring around the house. I have never touched a circuit breaker in a house, a circuit box. They scare the hell out of me. So if I'm saying anything, if you're an electrical engineer out there and I'm saying something that's untrue, please don't hesitate to write the show, DR Chris Winter, and correct me, and we'll post it on a future episode. So we ground because we don't want the electrical current coming out of the wall to flow through us and create a shock. So by law, two things have to happen. You either have to have a device that has two protections against being, a fault or something, potentially electrocuting you. Meaning that, like, if you think about a clock radio, it's all made out of plastic. So even if there was a fault inside, the plastic would protect you from potentially getting shocked. Or if something isn't, sort of encased in plastic, like an iPhone charger, that you've got some sort of grounding situation with that little third plug, so that any electrical fault would escape through the ground and not through you. Because essentially, current wants to flow downhill. And what I mean by that is, it's looking for, if you think about static electricity, as you walk around and you shuffle your feet on the carpet, and you're creating an excess of electrons, and the electrons want to reestablish sort of equilibrium. So when your friend walks by who doesn't have an excess of electrons and you touch fingers, that current that you've developed flows through you into that individual and creates the shock. That's static electricity. So once that shock happens, the equilibrium is reestablished. It's happening in lightning, essentially. You're creating an excess of electrons, and they're wanting to sort of redistribute in a way that's equal. So when you think about an individual who's like, I'm working outside with my miter saw and it's all metal, and for some reason the insulation of the wire is not proper, and it's allowing the metal saw to now be electrified so that it's now conducting current just like the wire feeding the motor is, and I don't know about it. So when I walk up to it and touch that metal saw, that current, which is now built up in the saw, wants to flow to a place where there is not as much built up current, and that's the ground, that's the earth. And so when I touch that saw, I become the easiest pathway for that electricity to return to the earth and essentially recreate the cycle, or the circuit, I should say. So when we ground something, when that saw has the third plug and is grounded, when that saw becomes electrified, that current can now flow through the ground into the earth. And that's an easier path than flowing through me. It's essentially why a bird can land on electrical wire. So the path of least resistance for that electricity is to flow through the wire and not through the left leg of the bird, through its body, and through the right leg of the bird. Current always flows in the easiest pathway. So that's why we ground. So what we're really talking about with grounding or earthing is we're all building up some degree of electrical charge. We are electrical human beings. And if you don't believe me, go have an EKG done. What is an EKG? It's a measure of the electrical activity of your heart. Or an EEG done. It's a measure of the electrical potential and, activity of your brain, much smaller scale than the heart's electricity, but electrical nonetheless. And even just the way we conduct nerve impulses and things of that nature through our nervous system is all based upon current and electricity and sodium. And, so it's all electrical. We're electrical beings. And so the thought is, can we be accumulating a charge like, rubbing the balloon on your head or shuffling across carpet? And could that built up charge, if it's not dissipated, be a problem physiologically or medically? So that's what this is all really about. So if you're like, well, look, Chris, I work outdoors and I pretty much spend most of my time outdoors barefooted. I would probably tell you then you're probably already doing all the things that we're going to talk about on this episode. So if you're feeling great, perhaps this has something to do with that. If you're not, you're grounded, so you need to look elsewhere for your treatment. So the question we're going to ask with this podcast is, can this grounding be something that could improve your sleep? Because a lot of the players that I was talking to was saying, look, I've got this grounded pillowcase or this grounded mat, and it's really been helping with my sleep. And so the grounding mat, and if you're looking on the YouTube channel, I contacted a group, and this group is called Grounding Well. And they were like, hey, Chris, we would love for you to try out our mat. And so they sent this grounding mat and also grounded flat sheet. So I guess I'm being grounded from top and bottom. And they said, give it a shot and see what you think. And so what happens is you put this mat on your bed and pillowcase or sheet or whatever, and it plugs into the wall, but just the ground. So any charge that I have, as if I walked outside barefoot, is now flowing through me, leaving me, and going out to the ground that was established when this house was built. So that's basically the essence of the technology. It's ridding ourselves of excess electrical charge or excess electrons, if you want to be technical about it. So what we'll do is I'm going to start sleeping with this mat and this sheet, but I'm going to set it up in a way where I can't tell if it's being plugged in or not plugged in. So I'm going to leave that up to my wife. So every morning this week, I'm going to rate my sleep. I think I slept well, better than average or worse than average. And that's not particularly hard. I mean, I'm a good sleeper, but for instance, last night, my wife said I did not sleep well. I got kicked out at some point in the night for moaning and catatonia, which we've talked about. The night before that was perfectly fine. I think the reason for this was I just got back from a trip to Atlanta. I was up at the Southern Sleep Society meeting. Hello, everybody from the Southern Sleep Society meeting. It was great to see all the Southern sleep doctors up there at their yearly meeting. Got to talk to my mentor, Don Blywise, who's a fantastic sleep researcher. I learned so much from him. He's from Emory University. So I just didn't sleep well on that trip and, tried to sleep on the flight, and perhaps that's what affected my sleep. So we will do the experiment of every day I'm going to rate good, bad in terms of sleep. And now my researcher, my wife, is going to either plug the devices up or not plug them up. So I'm going to build a little box around the outlet so I can't see. So the plugs will go into the box, but whether the boxes, the plugs are actually plugged in or not, I'll be blinded from that. So she'll know. So it's not double blinded, it'll be single blinded. I guess the eye will not know, she will know. And at the end of the week, she's going to show me, okay, these 4 nights you were plugged in, these 3 nights you were not. How do they match up with my subjective ratings of sleep? And then I think going forward, I'm going to do it to her for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm always barefoot. My feet are dirty and gnarly all the time. I walk around and mess around in my garden and water and stuff. And I usually go out and check the mail during the day, and I'm always barefoot. So my clinic that I, when I see patients, is virtual during the day. And so I'm just sitting here at the computer, often barefoot. She has a much more professional, in-person kind of job. She works at this big museum in Sarasota, Florida. And so she's always wearing shoes. So my guess is she's acquiring a lot more charge during the day, maybe, than I am. So we'll flip it around and see what she thinks about the charging mat, and we'll share these results as time passes. So what does the research say about this? And really, this kind of all dates back to about 1990, when sort of this concept of grounding, earthing, energy healing was sort of kind of becoming big. There was a 2011 study. It was a Polish study that was actually looking at, does electrical grounding affect sort of physiological processes of our body? And this was fascinating to me. This study basically said, look, when we, subject people to grounding and then measure certain parameters of their body, we found that earthing a human organism during the night, which is what we're talking about, seems to cause lowering of serum concentrations of iron, ionized calcium, which makes sense, you know, calcium with a charge essentially, inorganic phosphorus, and a reduction of renal excretion of calcium and phosphorus. Now, again, the subjective that's good or that's bad is sort of up for grabs here. We want to get rid of, you know, calcium and things like that, else we get stones. Earthing during the night, during night rest decreases certain levels of iodine, free thyroxine, and thyroid stimulating hormone. The continuous earthing of the human body decreases blood glucose in patients with diabetes. Earthing decreases sodium, potassium, magnesium, iron, total protein, and albumin concentrations, while the levels of transferrin, ferritin, and globulins alpha 1, alpha 2, beta, and gamma increase. These results are statistically significant. Really interesting when you think about ferritin, because ferritin is one of those things that's often deficient in individuals with restless leg syndrome. So it's basically saying earthing seems to decrease concentrations of certain things, but it might be increasing the levels of ferritin. So could grounding affect people with restless legs? So we'll get some restless leg patients and try to find out if using a grounding mat makes any difference to them whatsoever. A 2018 study conducted by two individuals, one named Angela Winter, and we are still going to do our episode about genetics and sleep. For those of you listening to the show, we've talked about Laura Winter, a listener of the show who listens from Amsterdam. Now we've got Angela Winter. If anybody knows Angela Winter from this research on grounding and blood pressure, let her know that we're gonna do some studies to see if we're all related. But she looked at 10 patients over a course of 3 to 4 months who had high blood pressure and showed that if they were grounding, their systolic blood pressure levels decreased during the time of anywhere from 8.6 to 22.7%, with the average decrease of 14.3%. Now, this was not a crossover study, so there wasn't a group that was being grounded, a group that wasn't, and then, you know, switching and seeing what happened. So, you know, this is essentially a case report of 10 people, which we have to be very careful with. And the journal, it was not a peer-reviewed journal to my knowledge. So that's interesting. We have blood pressure and some parameters of TSH and iron and calcium and things of that nature. But what about sleep? And so when we think about sleep, we're probably thinking a lot about stress. And if you're looking at stress, you're probably thinking about cortisol. We've talked a lot about that with insomnia. There was a 2022 study in Biomedicines from Korea entitled "The Effect of an Earthing Mat on Stress-Induced Anxiety-Like Behavior and Neurocrine Changes in the Rat." So basically, rats were divided into four groups. There was the normal group. There was the 21 days immobilized, which means the rat was kind of forced to be immobilized, which creates stress. There was the 21 days of the immobilized rat that was earthing. And then I think there was the 21 days of the immobilized the rat that wasn't. So you've got these four groups, either stressed or not stressed, grounded or not grounded. And it was really, you know, in the study that basically the overall earthing mat seemed to reduce the stress-induced behavioral responses and the expression of certain proteins in these rats that would indicate that the physiological downstream effects of stress were being mitigated to some extent in the mice that were grounded versus the ones that were not. And they said, look, these results suggest that the earthing mat may have the potential to improve stress-related responses via regulation of the cortisol system in these rats. So again, the blood pressure. Why is blood pressure going down in individuals potentially who are earthing? Yeah, perhaps it has something to do with changes in the cortisol axis and stress response, potentially. 2004 study in the Journal of Complementary Medicine, Alternative and Complementary Medicine, entitled "The Biological Effects of Grounding the Human Body During Sleep as Measured by Cortisol Levels, Subjective Reporting of Sleep, Pain, and Stress." So basically 12 subjects were included in this. They were grounded for 8 weeks and then subjectively asked about pain and sleep and stress, and nearly all of them showed improvement. Once again, this is a This is it's not a well-structured research study here to really show these effects. Nobody was blinded. There's no crossover. It's basically, here, try this thing. It might affect your pain, your stress. And when people did it, it worked. And there's lots of studies that show many things, if it's suggested to a patient, can improve things like pain, sleep, and stress. We know this. We've been talking about in a previous episode, just imagining yourself in a submarine going deeper, you know, showed a massive improvement in terms of, you know, deep sleep in some of these patients. I think that was that Swiss study. So again, I don't fault it. Look, if sleeping on something or your belief in something, whether it's a grounding mat, a higher deity, some, you know, you're something you're growing in your garden, you know, your mom's old family recipe for something, you know, if these things are improving people because there's belief, there's really not much, I don't see a lot of problem with that, as long as that individual is kind of aware, not being taken advantage of, et cetera, et cetera. A Taiwanese study in 2022, grounding the body improves sleep quality in patients with mild Alzheimer's disease. This was an interesting study. This was a 12-week placebo-controlled study. 22 patients enrolled, 15 were actually completed the 12-week intervention where they were grounded and then had to fill out like Pittsburgh sleep indices, depression scales, et cetera. And subjectively, their sleep seemed to improve in the individuals on the mat versus the individuals who were having the sham grounding. So sham grounding is essentially what we were talking about earlier. I'm going to sleep on a mat that may or may not be plugged in. So the mat is real, but the nights where it's not plugged in would essentially be a sham grounding. So that's sort of the research and scholarship that I could find that was to some degree meaningful, looking at sleep and anxiety and grounding. I think another thing that we could think about too in terms of potential disruptors to sleep would be sleep and pain. And a lot of the anecdotal research that's out there talks a lot about grounding as a potential intervention for pain. And a lot of people who have chronic pain disorders have said, hey, when I sleep on a grounding mat, it seems to be better. And again, that's a very problematic thing to say in terms of, you know, placebo effects and mind over or whatever. But again, it doesn't change the fact that if you get on discussion groups about grounding, there's tons of people out there whose lives have been changed in quotations by grounding mat. So there was a 2019 study by a guy named Gaetan Chevalier. And this guy's all over the place when you start looking at literature search for grounding. I did a little bit more investigation on Chevalier, and Chevalier actually runs the Grounding Institute. So, you know, we've talked about looking where your sources are coming from. What is their interest here? What are they trying to sell you? Do they sell grounding mats? And now they're, you know, a lot of these research studies tend to be kind of what I would call in-house. Hey, I get contacted with this stuff all the time. Hey, we've got this thing that delivers a, you know, a little pulse electrical activity to your vagus nerve. We want to do studies to prove that it really helps people with insomnia. And, you know, they call you and I'm like, I don't really have the interest or the ability to do that. And you know, these are big studies. They often don't have a whole lot of money to fund them. So they kind of do it themselves. They're like, hey, we send out this survey to everybody who buys our device and we ask them, does it help? And you know, there's a lot of flaws to that. You just spent X amount of money on this device to help with your whatever problem. There's always going to be a bias towards it working, you know, at least initially. So anyway, this guy did a 6-week double-blinded study, randomized controlled study, where therapists like massage therapists were actually utilizing grounding mats. And he showed that the individuals who used it for about a month had less physical pain, better mood, and better overall, you know, fatigue functioning, et cetera. So he was actually looking at these workers with kind of difficult jobs where fatigue and depression and physical pain seemed to be sort of part of it, you know, for these sort of body workers, and showed that in this study that use of the grounding mat seemed to improve things for them. The last study I'll mention was an Austrian study from 2019 from Frontiers of Physiology, where they were looking at grounding mats as a way to recover from muscle loading. So I think these individuals were 22 participants, and they were divided into grounded and not grounded. I think they were running downhill on a treadmill, which was kind of creating stress and muscle fatigue and, you know, aches and pains and heavy muscle loading. And then over the next 10 days, one group was using the grounding mat, one group was not. Was there any differences in their ability to recover? And this group said, yeah, we see definite signs that the individuals that are using the grounding mat seem to be recovering from their physical activity better than those who are not. So two things. The first is, there's, when you're looking for research on the grounding effects, I actually never came across any studies that showed that it didn't work. Now, that's a loaded statement, meaning that maybe nobody who, the research is such a small, there's such a small group of research on this that, you know, maybe if somebody really set out to do that, they would have done it. But, you know, if you're at Berkeley or University of Michigan or University of Chicago, you're probably not getting a lot of grant funding to test these kinds of things. So it becomes difficult research to do. And again, just because it doesn't exist doesn't mean it's true or false. It just doesn't exist. So the people who tend to do this kind of research, it's generally smaller scale. The construction of the studies are not particularly done well enough to show these kinds of things. And there's a lot of inherent flaws with this kind of research in terms of, hey, if I'm running the Grounding Institute, I'm probably going to, you know, skew things towards finding. I was just talking to a club today about doing some sleep sort of studies on some of the athletes in this club that were interested in doing it. And I said, well, once we've collected the data, I'd like to give it to somebody else. And they said, do you not feel comfortable doing the analysis? I said, no, I feel comfortable doing it. I just don't like it when we're doing sleep research and the sleep doctors doing the analysis. I want somebody without skin in the game to do it, because deep down, whether I know it or not, of course I want sleep to win. I want sleep to be shown to be an effective tool for recovery, or the athletes who sleep more are more successful. I might not feel like that, but there's an inherent bias that it's my entire life's work is sleep. Like, I don't want, oh, wait a minute, look at this research. It's looking like the guys who don't sleep well or sleep very little or who don't think sleep's important are hitting way more home runs than the ones. So I guess deep down, I don't want to believe that. So once we collect the data, I want somebody impartial, some data cruncher, to be looking at that, not me. So I think those kinds of flaws are sort of out there. But I will say that I never really came across anything that was showing that, you know, nothing happened. And maybe more importantly, I never really came across anything that showed that there was any danger to it. Now, speaking of that, there were some interesting things that I came across about grounding. And the two were that, number one, by grounding yourself, you kind of create the situation where you become an antenna for electromagnetic fields, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's like, listen, you go to the beach or you walk around in nature barefoot, you're grounding yourself. And I don't think anybody's saying, listen, be careful where you're walking around barefoot, because you could be, you know, creating a situation where you're conducting electricity. No, it's not the way it works. Again, electricity flows downhill. It's going from you into the earth. The idea that there is electricity flowing from the earth back into you, that's not really how things work. It's sort of like it's osmosis, right? You know, you put a little bit of dye in a big thing of water and it spreads out. It equilibrates. It doesn't concentrate itself. And that was the other thing that I came across, was that, you know, there's dirty electricity in the ground that you could be exposing yourself to, depending on where you live, if you start grounding yourself. And again, I think this is all absolute bogus. So whether or not the grounding mat is going to cure your medical problem, make your chronic pain go away, make your sleep significantly better, that remains to be seen. There's some very, very circumstantial evidence out there that says, hey, maybe it does. And when you were looking, I was looking at some of the effects, the numbers were very small, you know, quite small. I mean, in the study that we were talking about, in the Alzheimer's study, it was improving Pittsburgh sleep quality indices by 0.3 plus or minus 0.7 in the control group versus 0.3 plus or minus 1.9. So it's just, it's very, very small effects here. So I think that you can be pretty secure in the fact that should you be using a grounding mat, walking around barefoot, trying out some of this therapy, you're not putting yourself in danger by doing it. In fact, we ground and collect charge all the time in our lives. So I'm interested to hear what you think. Have you tried any of these grounding products before? What do you anticipate will be the outcome of our little experiment we're going to do? So I'm going to get started with that. The grounding sheet and the grounding mat are going on the bed tonight. I will be blinded from whether it's plugged in or not. And in upcoming episodes and on social media, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram, Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, we'll post some of the results that we're getting as we go along. So that's it. Grounding and earthing done and dusted. I'm Chris Winter. Again, Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram. My book's The Sleep Solution and The Rested Child. Neither of them feature any information on grounding. So please don't buy that book expecting to find it there. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends and family. And until next week, sleep well.